Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
All right, so I spoke, how many remember what I spoke about last week on Easter Sunday? I spoke about the chaos, right? Chaos up in the city, and then down below there was silence. And on the Saturday there was absolute silence. And I was using the word, or just realizing that Jesus wants to take us out of the current affairs. That when there's current affairs, he wants to pull us out of current affairs and into silence and into refreshment in his presence and refuge in his presence. So how many of you know there's some current affairs that are happening, or anyone want to mention a current affair? Fridge is empty. Well, some people, yeah. Load shedding. Pylons. I mean, last week was better than this week, you know. Okay. Some current affairs, guys. Inflation. Say again. Sabotage. Sabotasi. Sabotage. You see, people do go through things. We are going through stuff. And there are current affairs, and they do happen. And I ask God, how, when you say we take refuge, how do we move out of what is happening? How do we get out of that? And I felt to open up the book of Ruth, and I started reading, and Naomi had gone with her husband and her two sons and their wives out in, you know, they had gone on a sojourn, as the Bible says. And on this trip, she lost her husband and her sons. And she came back with just Ruth. And as she came into town, the people said, "Hey, it's Naomi." And her name means blessed. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which is bitter. Because like anyone who knows what the end of the month feels like, she went out full and came back empty. Okay, anyone know that feeling? You've gone out full and you've come back empty. You guys are quiet. I guess it's just us. But she says, "Call me bitter because I went out full and I've come back empty." And it kind of reminded me of the feeling you get when you put your hopes in the government, if you put your hopes in circumstance, if you put your hopes in things changing quickly. We've got some guests from overseas. You guys have arrived in the worst time I can remember. Welcome. Real current affairs that make me feel empty. That make me feel, if I just look at the situation, make me feel hopeless. And just when I think it's going to get better, it gets worse. Last week, we didn't even know what a pylon was. This week, they're falling. Last week, I'm like, it's going to get better. And it doesn't. What happens when it gets worse? She came in with that feeling. I feel empty. And so, here is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. It says, we are hedged in We're pressed on every side. We're troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped. Just say this with me, not cramped, not crushed. We suffer embarrassment and are perplexed and unable to find a way, but we are not driven to despair. Say that with me. Thank you. We are pursued, we are persecuted, we are hard driven, but we are not deserted to stand alone. We are not struck down to the ground. We are struck down to the ground, but we are never struck out and destroyed. And I want to jump back to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And all of us, with an unveiled face, continue to behold the Word of God. As if in a mirror, the glory of God, we are constantly being transformed into His very image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from God, who is the Spirit. So this whole piece of passage is talking about the fact that we carry a glory, that we carry the very presence of God around us. And if we're looking for something that's going to bring hope, we've got to look to Christ who is living inside of us. But we can't look to the circumstances, to the current affairs. Because what if they don't improve? What if they don't get better? We're going to come back feeling empty. But Naomi, she comes back and she trusts in God. She places Ruth with Boaz and she says this about him. This is the one person who can redeem us. And in the same way, we're going, there is one person who can redeem us, who can free us from any guilt, who can free us from any debt, who can free us from any hopelessness and feelings of emptiness. And that really is Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, listen, there's something that we've got to do. We've got to look Jesus. And then, as if in a mirror, we've got to behold His glory resting on us. And then he goes on to talk in 5. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5. And he says, for we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have from God a building, a house. So I like the fact that Paul loved camping. Okay, anyone been camping in a tent recently? Okay, by the last five. Anyone never camped in a tent? Can I just see a show of hands? Okay, so there is my mom. I don't know how you escaped that, but... But you go to when you go camping, you go to a place where you want to feel a little bit close to the environment around you, and you sleep in a little nylon tent. And the only thing that makes it nice is you know it's temporary. Like if you knew that that was your permanent living space, you would not even enjoy the first night. But there's something about getting close to uncomfortable but not dead. That's quite lekker. Okay. I'm thinking about our trip into the amphitheater in the Drakensberg. and basically all that separated us from the mist and minus whatever degrees winds was nylon. You can imagine us sitting there trying to cook with our feet just out the tent. And that's that. So you want to get as close to dying without dying. And that's what makes it nice. Okay, now there's leisure camping, I know, but you want to feel like you're out there. But if that was your permanent, you're not even going to enjoy the first night. And Paul's saying, yeah, he's saying, we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have from God a house not made with hands. We know that we have something that is temporary, but what gives us hope is that we've got something permanent. Now, a lot of people, when they read this, immediately think that the tent just alludes to the body, your physical body. And the house alludes to your spiritual form in heaven. But I realized, and I realized this through my own personal experience, that what this more deeply speaks about is my feelings of safety, security in an environment. For instance, if I put my value, my identity as, how do I explain this, as the pastor, as Daniel at Oasis, then Oasis and me being the pastor becomes my full identity. I hope this makes sense. And what I do becomes my identity. Where actually what I do is just temporary. I could do something else in the next 10 years or 20 years. I could be someone completely different. So what I took on is always temporary. And it doesn't define my identity. Remember he's saying, when I behold his glory as in a mirror. So it's really speaking about our identity and our sense of security in our identity. Your sense of security should never lie in what you do and in what you're involved in. That is your tent. Does that make sense? If I go back just a little bit, just go back to verse 18. It says, verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. So, how do I explain that? If I'm driving in my car, sometimes I'll take a bend a little faster than I should and hug the corner and imagine that it's got red and white stripes on the left curb. And then I'll like drift a little bit over and take it. And in my head, I see Formula One. But what I see physically is a Honda Jazz. And I look at my Honda Jazz and I get sad. And it's a real sad because chances are I'm never going to drive a Formula One car. Come on, any other men or women in the room? Lib, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. I was showing Bernadine a band last night, like world-class band. And I'm watching this video and the music is mind-blowing, incredible. And Bernadine looks at me and says, why do you look so sad? I'm like, because I can't play like that. I don't care about the stage and what. It's just like, I just want to feel what it feels like to play like that. So, Formula One is unseen, but Honda is seen. Our current situation is like that. We see it, but there's something that is unseen. And that unseen is what God has placed inside of us, which He hopes to reveal in Christ. But when you focus on what you see, you're going to be like Naomi, who comes back and says, I feel empty and bitter. So South Africa is a Honda right now. Okay, Red Bull is Honda too. I realize some things that happen when you put your faith in the unseen, in the scene, sorry. I realized in my personal life, I started to care too much. By care too much, I started to get very uncomfortable when what is seen doesn't work out. Why? Because my whole identity is in it. Does that make sense? My whole identity is in it, so if it doesn't work out, then I feel really bad. So what happens then? We try to take control of things we shouldn't take control of. Does that make sense? Maybe your whole identity is in your marriage. And because the other person does something, you try and take control because your identity. Does that make sense? Maybe your whole identity is in your workplace. And because someone else isn't doing what you thought, you're taking control. Why? Because there's a fear that your identity isn't going to live up to the standard. So yes, there's a lot of stuff that's happening that's not great. But we can't take control. We've got to do something else. Something else. Jesus said, go and, or God said, go and have authority and dominion. Go and have authority. Anyone read that in their Bible? Anyone? Go and have authority and dominion. Two things. Authority and dominion. As I was just sitting with this word authority, the word authority does not mean to have control. How many of you thought that authority equals control? Anyone in the room? Authority does not equal control. Authority comes from the word, the Latin word, which means to author or authority. It means to originate. It means to be creative. Dominion means to be Lord and Master. So God said two things. Go and originate. Go and author. Unless some people are looking at me like, what? Go and author. Go and originate. And go and master what you have authored and originated. That's what God said. He said, go and have authority and dominion. In Genesis 1, you can read it. He says both of those words. So go and author and master what you have authored. And then God brings the animals. He says, name them. So they became authors. So we have circumstances. We have current affairs, and if we're looking at that as our identity, we want to take control, but God is saying, no, we need to author something new. And to author something new, you need to be looking at what is unseen. You need to be finding something, bringing something out of you that has not yet existed. You need to be, we need to be saying, my identity is in Christ. But because of that identity, He's given me open access to tap into something that has not yet been seen. I've got a friend, he's so positive. He's like, man, now is the best time to do business in South Africa. Now is the best time to innovate. Now is the best time to create. Now is the best time. Because you see, when things have been established, when things have been put in place, there's no more space to create. There's no more space to author. We were in a conversation saying, oh man, if only South Africa could be like Europe. But Europe has been developed. There's something that has never existed waiting to burst out of this country, to burst out in this place. And that's what it means to author, is to say, man, we're going to go into the darkness and we're going to bring light. Because we found refuge in the silence. We found refuge in the quiet place. And in that place, God has revealed something that is unseen to us. Something that has never been heard of, never been seen before. Do you believe we can be a part of something that has never been seen before? Something that has never been heard before? Do you believe you can author and originate and create and then master what you have authored and originated and created? God created us so that He could co-author with us, co-author through us. He didn't create us to control us. He created us to co-author. That was His first instruction to us. I just sat in that and I realized just how powerful that is. How beautiful and amazing and incredible that is. Second Corinthians 5, verse 4 says, for while we are still in this tent, we groan under the burden. But not that we want to put off the body, but rather that we would further be clothed, so that is that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now He who has fashioned us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of this promise. So here is how we then are. So then, we are always full of good and hopeful and confident courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are abroad from the home with the Lord. For we walk by faith. While we are in the circumstance, we are abroad from the perfect picture that He's giving us. Yet we walk by faith, even in a circumstance that looks very different from the circumstance, from what it should look like. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Paul's writing there, he's saying, hey, We know what the church should look like, but we're being persecuted. We're being stoned. We're being left for dead. This doesn't look like that awesome missions trip that they advertised in the church announcements. This doesn't look like church camp. We got a surprise next week. You're all going to come on camp. We got no houses. No, I'm just kidding. But what if you arrive and it looks very different? What are you rooted on? What are you founded on? What is your foundation? And sometimes you will find yourself abroad from what God's perfect picture looks like. But there's an invitation to step into that. Does that make sense? I want to just go to Isaiah 60, verse 2, to end it off. Let's just start at the top. It says, arise from the depression and the circumstances which have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Over here in South Africa, we say, behold, that prophecy is now being fulfilled. And then it says, but listen to this. Listen, I want to just emphasize this. Behold, darkness will cover the earth. A, there will be circumstance. But now, number two, the second point there, and dense darkness all peoples. You see, what it's saying is, when there's a circumstance, some people will fall under the circumstance. So number one, a pylon falls down. Darkness covers the earth. But two, a dense darkness covers the people. That's the people's response to the circumstance without Jesus. Don't allow the circumstance to get into your heart. Don't allow the dense darkness to come. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen in you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness. Can I just say that again? The brightness of your rising. Let's just read that again. Can we just stand together as we end this? I just felt like, let's declare these verses as prophetic verses for our nation. Let's declare these verses as prophetic words so that a dense darkness doesn't cover our people. The dense darkness doesn't cover the hearts and minds of people in this nation. Because even though darkness has come, God wants to let us arise and arise from the circumstances. So I just feel this prophetically for our nation this morning. God is saying, arise from the depression and the prostration in which the circumstances have kept you. South Africa, rise to a new life. Shine for your light. Jesus has come and the glory of God has risen before you. Can we just shout verse 3 out with me? And nations shall come to your light, and kings shall come to the brightness of your rising, in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. I just pray that over every person in this room. May you rise up in your light, and may nations and kings come to the brightness that you carry. We all carry a special gift, an anointing directly from Jesus. And this morning I'm praying that that rises out, bursts forth, that we become authors and masters of that which we have authored in the presence of Jesus. I declare that this morning. Amen. Let's just give God glory where we're standing. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.